Please remain standing and pray with me. Almighty God, on this evening as we begin the observance of a holy Lent, please take away all hardness of heart. Break our hearts. Help us to rend our hearts and not our garments. Lord, we come to you this evening under the authority of the Word of God to search us and to bring conviction for sin and hope for restoration in your presence. Be with me this evening as the preacher of your word. Let me speak under the unction of the Holy Spirit and give us all listening and receptive minds and hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This doesn't happen to you, but I have friends who send me X posts. You know, I sometimes just to stir me up, sometimes to make me laugh and things like that. Or I'm not really on Instagram that much, but I occasionally get that. And if you spend any time on X or Instagram or some other social media source, and you have anything in your algorithm that may indicate that you are a Christian, you probably have seen the snarky comments from certain sectors about how Lent and Ash Wednesday are not in the Bible, and that this season is somehow an incursion from the Roman Catholic Church. Well, first of all, we don't get this season or this day from the Roman Catholic Church. Indeed, the season of Lent and this Ash Wednesday go back to the practices of the undivided church in the first millennium. It was at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. I wasn't there. I know people who were. 325 AD, that a 40-day season of fasting was to present, was to go before the time of the celebration of the resurrection. So that's where that comes from. And it was in 601 AD. And by the way, there were no other churches but one church at this point when Gregory the Great said, you know what, we're going to start that 40-day season with the imposition of ashes in Ash Wednesday. So it goes way, way back. But you know what else is not in the Bible, though? Smoke machines and lasers in worship and preachers in skinny jeans. And if that's you, that's great. We're not going to rain on your parade or your smoke machine. But at least let's be consistent. But you know what? I think we should ask why we have this season of Lent and why does it start with smearing people's foreheads with ashes? It really does seem very out of place in the modern world. Well, first of all, as the Theo Bros online have reminded us, there is no biblical command to celebrate Lent. Lent as a season does not even show up in the Bible. However, you will not find, even though you won't find Lent and Ash Wednesday in the Bible, you will find the season is fully rooted in the precepts and practices of Holy Scripture, directly taken from God's Word. We heard that this evening in Joel, in the prophet Joel. Joel says in chapter 2, verse 12, beginning verse 12, he says, yet even now, who is instituting this? It's not the prophet. Listen, who's instituting this? Even now declares the Lord, and here, return to me, the invitation to return. And then he says, with all your hearts. It is a call to renewed holiness. With all your hearts. With fasting and weeping, with mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. You know, the Bible reading from Joel on this Ash Wednesday evening emphasizes the need for God's covenant people to return to the Lord. Because here's the reality. There are three distinct forces, and you probably know where I'm going with this, that are constantly luring us away from God, constantly drawing us away from our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are seduced, first of all, by the allurements and the distractions of the world. What do we mean by that? Well, the world is essentially what human society looks like without God. is human society organized around false values and destructive desires. And with the advent of the smartphone, all of the malevolent power of the world as a spiritual influence is sitting right there in my pocket. It's in my pocket right now. We can't get away from it. We're also drawn away by the power of what the Bible refers to, especially in the New Testament, as the flesh. In other words, our disordered desires and our disordered appetites and our disordered passions that are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And immediately when we think about the flesh, we typically think about, oh, what he's talking about, you know, things like gluttony or lust. But the flesh is also things like being preoccupied with grievance or outrage or covetousness. Those are disordered passions. And then, of course, we're lured and tempted by away from God by the devil. We have a very real spiritual enemy. And he's accompanied by what the New Testament refers to as unclean spirits. These are genuine, real spiritual adversaries that seek our destruction. Their only desire is to kill and to steal and destroy. And these forces all lure us away from our commitment to Jesus Christ. And because of them, we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. That's why we have to have Lent. You know, my wife and I, we're going to have winter grandparent camp coming up this next week. And we love having our grandkids in our home. But it is not uncommon for them to unwittingly let my German shepherd, Gus, the German shepherd, he's not the good shepherd, he's a pretty good shepherd. They unwittingly let him out of the back fence by accident, and invariably when this happens, the kids come running inside and breathlessly let me know, "Papa, Gus is out!" That's bad news because he's a big, scary-looking dog, and he is not a welcome sight in the neighborhood off of the leash and unattended. And so I run out and see if I can spot him. And here's what happens. He immediately, when he gets out, he starts darting from one unexplored scent to another. He gets distracted and overwhelmed by the allurement of new smells. Usually he ends up in the most dangerous spot imaginable, right on the street, because there are a lot of interesting smells at those fire hydrants and other places. And so I urgently start calling to him for him to come home. Come on back, Gus. But what is going on in his nose is so distracting that he totally ignores me. And I speak German Shepherd, by the way. And this is what he says. La, 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 la. I can't hear you. Lured and enticed away from home, from safety by his canine passions. And there I am desperately calling to Gus to get him to return. Come home, come home. And you know, folks, that is exactly what we are like. We can be distracted away from the Lord until we look around and we realize that we're practically lost. That we are in real spiritual danger and we are far away from the God who loves us and who is calling on us to return. Lent is a way of clearing away the distractions so that we can finally hear our Master's voice. Hear him again. Lent is a time to return to God with all our hearts. And by the way, you know how I get Gus to come back? I do it by opening I figured this out. He is totally immune to the word treat. You can holler treat all you want to. He doesn't respond to that. He responds to me opening the tailgate on the Hyundai. And finally, the idea that I might leave without him sends him racing home. Well, beloved, Lent is God opening the tailgate and saying, "It's better here with me." Lent calls us away from lukewarm devotion and lip service to a deeper walk with God. You know, Jesus, I was praying about this verse as I, actually this passage that I'm about to read to you, as I was on my prayer hike last Thursday, the Lord laid this on my heart, so it's for us tonight, I think. Jesus personally warns us about just how dangerous our lukewarm discipleship really is. He says in Revelation 3, verse 15 and following, I know, he's speaking to the Laodicean church, but he might be speaking to us. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. Man, life is good. I am comfortable. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Joel says that to move from lukewarm to on fire, wholehearted devotion to God, we can do that through the means of grace of fasting and weeping and mourning for our sins. And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we heard it tonight, calls us to genuine God-centered, not performative, but God-centered fasting and prayer and financial generosity, calling us to acts of holiness. These are the spiritual disciplines. They are the ordinary means of grace. Fasting and prayer and generosity, by the way, brothers and sisters, in case you're worried, they are not works righteousness. They are not a means of earning favor with God. God is not going to like you more because you fasted. No, they merely put us in a position where the Holy Spirit can sovereignly wake us up to how far we have wandered from the source of life and how much we have allowed sinful patterns that we had turned away from to creep back in. And you know, beloved, there is nothing quite like having someone smearing ashes on your forehead and telling you you're going to die, which is what you're going to have happen to you tonight. Remember that you are dust and to dust you will return. What are we telling you? You're going to die. There's nothing like that to get our attention and to wake us up. I'm going to die. It's inevitable. And in light of that, the only two things that are eternally important, the only two things that are going to last beyond the grave, that will survive this life into the next, is first of all, my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Remember, that's the only thing that you're going to take with you beyond the grave. That's one thing. And the other thing that exists that will be significant beyond this life, listen, are other people. So, beloved, let us begin the process of returning to the Lord with all our hearts by giving up ourselves to a season of fasting and self-denial. Under the authority of God's word, I appeal to you, even as St. Paul did in the second letter to the Corinthians, as ambassadors for Christ, we appeal to you, be reconciled to God right now. Return to the Lord with all your heart. Now, if you grew up like I did, and again, this is something perhaps it's for you. It's something the Lord laid on my heart. But I want you to hear this as the Lenten appeal. I heard it when I was a backslidden Christian years and years ago. Seemed like every time I went to church, they were going to sing this song and make me cry. I'm not going to sing this song because that would make you cry. But here is a Lenten invitation. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling to you and to me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. In the name of Jesus, let us begin a holy Lent. Amen.